This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the world championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto yet another edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown, and we touch base with Alan Kinney today to talk some cycling. Before we get into that, a quick shout out to our sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It is brought to you by Wheel Science. You may have heard a few days ago, we caught up with Joe and Peter Coombe, who are the founders of Wheel Science, and an unbelievable product. Not only do you get all the performance, but you get it at half the price. They've done some independent testing, and the results are phenomenal. If you're looking for a brand new set of wheels, look no further, okay? Because we are giving you, as a Kona Edge listener, 10% discount. If you'd like to find out more, all you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. You definitely won't be disappointed. They've got full range from a disc right through to just the normal roads, normal profile wheels. They've got everything in between as well. So go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. And don't forget to use the coupon code KONAEDGE, all one word, KONAEDGE, at checkout to get yourself 10% off a set of wheels. Let's touch base now with Alan Kinney. Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. Time to chat some biking. We head back to Dublin. Alan Kinney joins us now. Alan, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much. Yeah, not at all.
Alan, talk to me a little bit about your bike. I mean, you're a very strong runner, but your bike is up there as well. You're pretty decent on the bike.
I've done okay for. I think my run is my strongest, but I think the bike and run combined are what enabled me to race well. So it's, like I said, no background in it. So it's just a case of putting in the hours and you get rewarded.
You've obviously put a lot of time in on the bike, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But as you said, no particular background in cycling. Has it come pretty easily to you? Did you pick it up as a sport quite comfortably?
Well, if you give me a straight line and non-technical course, yeah, I like to put the head down and hammer it. And yeah, I mean, my first year in triathlon, I was finishing with bike speeds that were compared favorably with most of the other people racing, and I thought there was something there. And yeah, so look at, I can turn the pedals, I'm happy doing that. But then look at, if it gets technical, I'm sort of at a disadvantage. So
as far as, when we spoke about the swim, you said it's basically just a lot of hard work and small increments over time. Do you feel the same way about the way you've improved your bike over your triathlon career?
Yeah, I do. Look at how you have to get out on the bike as well, or get up on the turbo, whichever it is. I mean, I think getting outdoors is probably more beneficial to me because I'm not the best bike handler, and I think if I was to just do all my training on the turbo, which I did the majority of one year, it left me at a disadvantage when it came to descending and hairpin bends in Mallorca. And because you have to put the hours in, certainly, and you have to, I mean, not just going out for a casual coffee spin, you have to, do hard work on the bike and, race efforts. Above race efforts, all that usual jazz.
As far as things you've done to get better, I mean, you mentioned the turbo. Do you think that's played a big part just from a developing and building power over time by sitting on a turbo? Because there's nowhere to hide. It's not like you can sit in freewheel. You've got to do the work.
Yeah, no, you do. Absolutely. I look at a few. Yeah, I mean, I don't use a power meter, or I don't train by heart rate, so I just have to go on feel, and I think that served me well. But yeah, just you're on the turbo, look at, if you're working or not. You don't need a heart rate monitor to tell you that, at least I don't. And yeah, I mean, that's good. And then look at your outside. I mean, I suppose you use speed, you know, if you're going fast, if you're working hard or not. And then when it comes to races, you can tell if your training is working or not. So
I love the fact that you train and race to feel. I mean, often we get caught up in the gadgets, and I'd say 80% of the athletes I speak to here on the podcast use power meters, and they dig into the numbers. But you almost lose that ability to feel what it feels like. I mean, if you're living and dying by the numbers, you don't really have a finger on the pulse, so to speak, of how you're feeling and how your body's reacting to the stress you're putting it under. You almost, I think, have a slight advantage in that space over most triathletes.
Yeah, look, I'd agree with you, and it doesn't surprise me, the 80% figure, because I see it myself in racing in Ireland, and look, I've gone past people in races, and I know they're not pushing hard or as hard as they could because their power meter tells them. And like one guy said to me after the race, geez, I couldn't believe how low your cadence was and how strong you were pushing. And he wouldn't let himself do that because his power meter told him not to do it. And look at, I've had, there's another time in one of the Ironman races they're doing, and there was a guy going in front of me and falling off. Like his speed was dropping, and like this happened a few times, and like it was annoying the hell out of me. And he was just like, I'm assuming it was his power meter. He'd fall behind me and his power meter telling me not working hard enough. He'd go in front of me. Then he's 10 meters up the road and his power meter telling him he's working too hard. So yeah, like I just had to put distance between the two of us, and maybe if I had a power meter, my power meter would tell me you're burning way too many matches here, Alan, just back off. But I don't think you're afraid to push over what you ideally should be pushing either. So,
I mean, no power meter, no heart rate. What? Tell me about your bike setup. What are you currently riding? Tell me a little bit about your setup.
What do you mean? Sorry.
What bike do you ride?
Oh, Cervelia P3. I bought it last year. It's one of the older models. I'm not really into the fancy side of things, so I'd love to buy the latest tech and spec bikes, but I could have a certain budget as well, so I just.
I was going to say, on a teacher's salary, it's like you can have a bicycle or you can eat. You can't have both.
Yeah. Well, look at it. I mean, I'm happy. I mean, I don't know how much more faster would a 10 grand bike make you? I don't know.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice if you can. But yeah, it's not a necessity.
No, it's not. Look at it. It'd be lovely to have the high paying job you could have hired all these bikes, but then I probably wouldn't have my 2 months holidays right now if I had a job like that. So
absolutely, and I see it all the time as well. Let me tell you, I've seen lots of those bicycles hanging out at the back where I am. Having a great bicycle doesn't make you necessarily a great cyclist. I think that's also a very big misconception.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So
Alan, as far as workouts go, what are some of your favorite workouts on the bike? What do you thoroughly enjoy doing?
Again, like I said about the swim in the previous chat, I like doing sessions that give you a good indication for race day. So just a long bike with lots of Ironman efforts, and just looking back to the training before this chat, and I saw one, I think it was a 5 hour ride with 3x50 Ironman efforts. And like you're only getting 10 minutes recovery between the efforts. So I think if you can hold good speed on those 350 efforts, you know, you're, at least I think I know where I am, where I need to be, which I suppose for a 5 hour bike split is 36 K per hour. If you can, 36, 37, you're close enough to where you need to be.
Alan, you also mentioned at the start of this chat that one of your strengths is the combination of the bike and the run. Do you do much work off the bike heading into the run, or do you do most of your stuff standalone?
runs off the bike. You mean? Yeah, I would. I mean, look at when I was self-coached, I did probably a lot more of it. And then, when I started getting coached, he'd dial it back a bit, but there was maybe, definitely once a week I'd be running off the bike, starting off with 10, 15 minutes of Ironman effort, and then, certainly means a steady pace. And, but then I think with maybe that's more important for shorter distances, which I haven't focused on for a good few years, but I think that, I suppose you're doing a marathon, it is, I think, in case you need to train for the marathon as well.
Yep.
So you have to do, the long runs and,
Well, let's talk about your running. We'll save that for next time, Alan. As always, great to catch up, and I look forward to talking a little bit about your run, because you're an absolute machine, and I want to know the secret, but we'll save that for next time. Thanks for your time today.
Okay.
And that's it for this edition of the Cone Edge. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the sponsor of this episode, Wheel Science. If you want to get yourself a set of high-performance wheels at half the price, all you need to do is head over to wheelscience.com or simply head over to theconeedge.com/wheels. It'll take you through to the website, and if you use the coupon Cone Edge at checkout, the guys at Wheel Science will give you 10% discount. That's just for Kona Edge listeners. The coupon code is Kona Edge, all one word, okay? So go check them out. Head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to go and have a look at their fantastic wheel sets. I'm back again tomorrow. Have yourself a superb one. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.